Hello, this is Tofu Dave on your community radio station, WCOMLP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie. And today I have a stimulating book, War by Other Means. The author is Daniel Axt, A-K-S-T. War by Other Means is a fascinating story centering on a group of, I guess it's four conscientious objectors and pacifists around the World War II time who didn't want to fight in the war and took a lot of flack and tried to raise America's consciousness. Daniel, I'm probably misstating everything you meant to say in the book, but that's some of what I got out of it. And we live in a university area. We've got people today that are objectors to war. How does what you wrote about fit into that whole anti-war spectrum?
Dave, first, thanks for having me. And you've done a fine job in summarizing what the book is about. The book focuses on a little known aspect of World War II, which is that some people refused to participate despite despite our country being attacked and so forth. Many of them went on to play important roles in progressive movements after the war, the civil rights movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement, opposing colonialism, nuclear proliferation, and so on. And I don't say necessarily that those pacifists were right to refuse to fight at that time or to oppose the war if they were not eligible, as in the case of Dorothy Day. But I do think they are important and interesting in helping us understand today's left and helping us understand the evolution of our political landscape today. We see here a variety of things that aborning, so to speak, that we live with now. You know, the emphasis on race, the divorce of activists and leftists from the working class, particularly the white working class, and the leaving behind of redistribution as a central part of the agenda. There also the emphasis on direct action, protests, taking to the streets, sit-ins, whatever, sometimes, you know, often over democratic processes. All of this can be seen in this group, and there's good and bad about all of it, and all of it they pioneered with the best of intentions, and perhaps their most important role during the war was calling Americans to conscience and insisting that we live up to the ideals we claim to be fighting for. And that was a very important role, and that was a role that the later civil rights movement a mantle that was taken on by that movement and by Martin Luther King. And so I think they were pretty interesting. And the big four in the book are Bayard Rustin, David Dellinger, Dorothy Day, and Dwight MacDonald, quite a cantankerous and fascinating intellectual.
Right. And some of these, of course, are household names. But I thought in your book, War by Other Means, again, we're talking with Daniel Axt here on Between the Covers. The people you highlighted in your book I found fascinating because I didn't know everything about them. And one of the most interesting things to me was how, while they didn't want to fight in the war and in World War II, in which many of our parents enlisted, I think for good reason personally, to fight Nazism and Hitler, these, I guess, pacifists is a fair way to yes. put it, but these were not completely turn the other cheek pacifists in the sense that you brought out when they saw injustice, and particularly in terms of the civil rights movement, all of these people in different ways went on to become advocates for racial equality and integration and social advancement in the civil rights sense, and they were quite active and in many ways suffered and were hurt in different yes. ways by their commitment to activism. Is that yes. a fair reading?
Absolutely. And in fact, I'm glad you raised that because, the title is War by Other Means. One of the things they did was transform American pacifism from something that was more passive and resistant simply to being enlisted in any way in war. They transformed that philosophy and that way of living into something much more active and, if not aggressive, to bring about important social changes. They still insisted passionately, rigorously, fanatically insisted on nonviolence. And that was hugely important, I believe, to the success of the civil rights movement and some other changes, the women's movement and so forth. So they always insisted on nonviolence, but it meant that they would, in fact, encounter discrimination, try to change it, try to change people's minds. They didn't reject or cancel people. They tried to persuade. They tried to discuss. They did hold sit-ins and protests and so forth. They laid aside trying to actively oppose the war because it would be an exercise in futility. They understood that. But where they did focus their attention was on the rights of Black Americans, which in those days, of course, were terribly curtailed. They criticized the internment of Japanese Americans from the West Coast. They condemned the bombing of civilians in Europe and Japan by the Allies. And they warned in particular early on of the mass killing of Jews in Germany and advocated the admission of many more Jews as refugees into the United States. And Dwight MacDonald's little magazine, Politics, raised issues such as the rights of women and why we should continue to oppress what we now call gay Americans and so on, which were way, way ahead of their time. So that's an important thing. They made pacifism more active in the direction of social change.
Daniel Ox, the author of War by Other Means, the pacifists of the greatest generation who revolutionized resistance, talking with us here on Between the Covers on your community radio station, WCOM. Daniel, another thing that you just mentioned is that they sought to change people's minds through discussion and debate. And I believe you even sort of used a word that's a trigger these days. They didn't try to cancel people. So bringing this forward to today, in what ways did they foreshadow some of the discussions we're having today? I know we only have a minute or two left, and it's sort of unfair to ask you this right now, but what can we learn from them if we want to try to make society better today in terms of whether it be race or gender equality or how we discuss big issues on college campuses, such as we have the University of North Carolina here, and we've had a lot of debates about different things. What can we learn from the people you wrote about and how they lived and conducted themselves for how we might want to engage in issues today?
Great question. I think they were first of all, extremely well-educated, and it's easy to overlook that. They didn't turn their back on the classics or opera or any of that sort of thing. Secondly, they were extremely open-minded, and Bayard Rustin would speak to anybody and would sit with anybody, and when minds were, if they could, they would set an example. The third thing is they would set an example. The example they set was not one of persecution and intolerance and mob formation, however virtual it may be. The example they set was one of engagement and righteous, not self-righteousness, but they wrote about the causes that were important, they just were completely unpredictable. They were not in any way really doctrinaire, except with respect to nonviolence. That was, to them, the crucial thing. If we could maintain nonviolence, then we can change minds, we can talk, we can evolve, and there was hope. And I wonder at times today whether we have the same attitude in the pursuit of what we believe are our righteous goals.
Well put, Daniel Ox, the author of War by Other Means, and I think you even pointed out when some of them were incarcerated, I believe they were able even to make connections with their jailers.
Absolutely. I mean, their jailers in some respects were quite enlightened. They had pity on some of their jailers because they were such a handful. So they were a fascinating bunch, and we can learn a lot from them, I think.
I think you're right again. Daniel Ox, thank you for being with us here on Between the Covers, War by Other Means, the Pacifists of the Greatest Generation Who Revolutionized Resistance. Folks, please read it. Daniel, thank you for being with us today on Between the Covers.
Dave, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Again, this is Tofu Dave on your community radio station, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill at Carver, Between the Covers, a literature quickie. We'll see you again on the next edition.